been a while. I'm sorry. Yeah, revealed hope. Hope revealed, my bad. I bet we got it on the screen wrong, too. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Revealed hope, amen. My bad, I must be running behind this morning. But as we gather, we are here to think about the past. We're here to remember the sacrifices made for our freedom. We're here, Memorial Day often gets kind of mixed up with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is the day that we celebrate and remember the past. We remember those who have fought, bled, and died and sacrificed so that we could have our freedoms. And I know Mr. Forrest Garner, it really meant a lot to him that day, because when he was in the Navy, he remembers on the ship when they would stop everything at 11:11:11. You know, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, they'll lower flags, or supposed to half mast. And Mr. Forrest wanted me to go play golf with him one Memorial Monday, and I went, and he wanted me to be sure and tell him 1 minute to 11, and we stopped everything that we was doing and paused to remember those that fought for the freedoms that we was able to enjoy. And that really meant something to me, and I believe nowadays we forget about the past. We forget what people sacrificed in our military so that we could have the freedoms to either even gather here today and exercise our religious freedom. We just forget that. You know, we get so busy with thinking about it. It's a holiday for us. We forget about what they gave so we could enjoy it. So let's take a moment here and pause and think of them and their loved ones. You know, their family sacrificed too. It's a lot of people that didn't have a husband or a wife or a mother or a father because their mother or father or husband or wife gave their life for our country. Let us bow our head and pause. Kind Father, as we pause now and just before we come to honor and remember those who have fought, bled, and died, sacrificed, that we may have the right to gather together today in your name and worship you, Lord. We just, right now, thank you for them. Thank you that you gave the willingness that they would sacrifice for what they believed in. The Constitution, the freedom of religion, the freedom of families. Lord, we just thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with their loved ones, their family members that are still surviving, that, Lord, that emptiness that they have from losing a loved one, that, Lord, you would just send your spirit with full power to comfort them today as we remember and celebrate this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will, as we continue our service, let's watch this. I don't know why the audio ain't on, Bobby.
They will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will. Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes and to pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again. They chose to reject the fashionable skepticism of their time. They chose to believe and answer the call of duty. They stood for something, and we owe them something.
Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We must realize that no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. With God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
At the grave of a hero, we end not with sorrow at the inevitable loss, but with the contagion of his courage, and with a kind of desperate joy, we go back to the fight.
I fear one of the things that we are losing in our country, in our homes, and even in our everyday lives is the ability to remember the past, the ability to think of the past, the ability to realize that the past defines our present, and the decisions that we make in our present determine our future. And when you think about the sacrifices that others made, they made those sacrifices so that the time that they lived in, that when they left that era of their lives, they would leave something better for the next generation. And that's what we should remember when we think about sacrifice. And we think about sacrifice of our first responders, of our military, but the sacrifice that we really need to remember when we think about sacrifices of others is that because they sacrificed, we can rejoice in the freedoms that we enjoy today. And when we think about rejoicing in the freedoms of today, we need to remember the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Paul says that for freedom, Christ set us free. Marty, y'all can come in. I want you to turn with you, if you will, this morning. I'm going to go through a little short message, and then Revealed Hope is going to come up and sing, and we're going to celebrate today. Amen? If you will, turn in your Bibles, and I put it up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says there, Paul, this is the results, okay, of our justification, of our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Verse 24 of chapter 4 and verse 25 there, it says that Christ died for our transgressions, but he was raised for our justification. He died for the penalty of our sin, but he was raised so we'd have freedom to live in him in relationship with God. It was about reconciliation. And so these are the results. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone might even die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In verse 11, and not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning for the sacrifice Christ made, that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us, that he was buried for our transgressions, that he was raised for our justification, and as a result, Lord, we can rejoice. And Lord, I pray this morning as we begin this service that we would rejoice in the results of Jesus' sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, I want you to think about this. Everybody asked me what I was wearing. I went in and asked my wife. I said, I need to know if my rejoicing tie looks okay with my suit. She says, I'm afraid to look. Amen. This is my happy tie. Amen. And we're here to rejoice. We're going to have a good time. Now, when we think about the past and we think about the sacrifices that people made, we need to rejoice. And we can rejoice no matter how bad things look, no matter what's going on, we can rejoice in the results of Jesus' sacrifice. When we think about this, Paul says, look, let me give you three reasons you can rejoice. First of all, you can rejoice in the hope of God's glory. We're standing on or standing in Jesus' grace. This therefore says, look, here's the results of everything I've been trying to tell you, Marty, since chapter 1. That Paul says, look, y'all got to understand what's wrong with your life and what's going on. He says, the wrath of God is revealed out of heaven against men who suppress the truth. In other words, we don't live by God's word. We reject God. We want to do things our own way. Guess what? Things are not working out because you're not doing them God's way. And part of God's wrath is letting us have what we want. If you live God's way, things are just going to be better. Don't mean they're going to be perfect. We live in a fallen world. Paul goes on to explain this through the next four chapters. And here he says, here's the result. Guess what? Even though y'all couldn't help yourself, Jesus died for you. Everything you done wrong, everything that you failed to be that you wanted to be, everything you failed to be that God wanted you to be, Jesus has paid the price for that. And he says, so since he's paid the price, let me give you a reason to rejoice. First of all, you can rejoice in our hope of God's glory. He says here in verse 2, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. When he's talking about being in the grace of God, you're talking about Jesus give us something we didn't deserve. He died in our place. He sacrificed for us so that we could be forgiven and given a new life, a do-over, a second chance. That's part of this grace. But look what he says here. He says, therefore, we stand in this grace. In other words, by grace we've been saved, but by grace we still live. Sometimes when we talk about God's grace and we share with people you need God's grace, we forget to tell them it's by God's grace you get saved, but once you're saved, you get to live in God's grace. That means God still forgives you for your imperfections, but he also not only forgives you, but he wants to help you leave those old habits, hurts, and hang-ups behind you and move on into something new. Now, here's the glory, and we'll get over to chapter 8. I could preach a whole sermon on this, but I got to move because they're ready to sing. Amen? How often do we talk about the glory of God? We talk about the glory of God all the time. What is the glory of God? It is the majesty of God. It is the renown of God. It is the name of God. It is the character of God. It is the holiness of God. And Paul says we can exalt. That means to rejoice. You know, them two words, I have trouble pronouncing things anyway. Y'all know that because y'all been around me enough. So you got exalt and you got exalt. The only difference, one's spelt with an A and one's spelt with a U, and I can't pronounce them much different. But here's the difference. Exalt with an A means that we praise or we lift up God. Okay? Now, exalt with a U means that we rejoice in the one that we're lifting up. You see what I'm saying? So Paul says here, look, I don't want y'all just to exalt Jesus and lift him up. I want you to rejoice in the one you've lifted up, because guess what? He's lifted you up and pulled you out of sin, shame, judgment, and death. He has exalted you. He has lifted you up. You can rejoice in our hope of God's glory. So here's the hope of God's glory. One day, we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to be like him. Now, how many of you this week had plans to do things you wanted to do? You kind of, you know, I don't know if you like me, but you kind of got a picture of what you look like or what you should be doing. Right? This is me. Everybody's going to be happy with me this week, right? And then about 10 o'clock on Monday morning, you realize I've done fallen short of my expectations. And then at night, when you slow down and you think back through your day, you think, I fell short of my wife's expectations. And then just before you doze off to sleep, you really hadn't thought about it much, you say, I fell short of God's expectations. And you feel some guilt come over you. Here's the hope of God's glory. One day we'll see Jesus face to face. Then we'll realize what we're supposed to be. And God will take away all them imperfections that we still have on this earth. And we'll be standing there just like we had always hoped to be and just like God designed us to be. And then we'll just glory in God's perfectness. And we'll worship him. Paul says, when you think about Jesus' sacrifice, think about your life can get better and better every day. Chapter 8, talking about the hope of the glory of God, he says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And if you drop down just a little bit, the reason, so we're conformed into the image of Christ. We're being made into children of God. When we think about the hope or the glory of that hope, it tells us there that it is the majesty of God. But not only do we think about the hope of this future, we can rejoice in our tribulations today, in our presence. Now you say, well, preacher, I didn't want to come to church and hear you talk about me being happy and suffering. Amen? How many of y'all want to be happy and suffering? Paul says, look, I don't want you to be happy with your hurts. I want you to be glad that pain perfects your faith, is what he's saying here in verse 3. He says, not only this, but we also exalt, or we can rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit he has given us. Here, what Paul is saying, or what Paul wants us to know, is that when we come into these hurts, into these trials, into these tribulations, and you think, God don't love me. Isn't that true? We think, now, if God loved me, why am I hurt like this? If God loved me, why am I going through this? Paul's already said here in verse 8, that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God didn't wait for you to get right. Jesus came to this earth and died while we were still rebelling against God. There was absolutely, that's grace, absolutely no advantage for God to save us, for Jesus to die for us, except God was going to display his glory. What do you mean his glory? His grace and mercy. He's like, I'm going to show the world how gracious I am. Let me show that poor old Wesley a little mercy. I'm going to pull him out of his trouble. So when we're going through troubles, what we need to remember that is in those troubles, we have the opportunity to be witness to the love of God and also experience the love of God. When you're going through something real difficult, Paul says, remember this, because he's talking about the glory of God in chapter 8, because that kind of finishes out what starts in chapter 5. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, perseverance, famine, nakedness, peril of sword? Nothing. He says, look, It is written, he's talking about in the Old Testament, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Guess what? No matter what you in this morning, whatever's going on last week, whatever you worried about, whatever pain, it is perfecting your faith, making you stronger, because you can always believe this. Jesus is going to deliver you. You're going to be healed either here or in heaven. You're going to be happy either here or in heaven. If the trial don't finish here, it'll finish when you get to heaven. The song goes, you got one more mountain, one more valley, one more river, and then what? One more battle, and then it's won. We'll be there. Paul says, look, I want you to rejoice in your troubles because you're looking for Jesus to rescue you. Did he rescue you from sin and death? I hope y'all say yes. All right. If he rescued us from sin and death, that's the worst problem we got. If you think about it, how many of you, when you don't like something and it's not going your way, you say, this is going to kill me. Well, Paul says, look, I knew y'all was going to say that. Guess what? You was about to die, and Jesus saved you from the punishment, the wrath of God. If he can save you from the wrath of God, he can save you from not liking who's in office. He can save you for not liking who's complaining about you. He can save you for you not being able to find a reservation next week for your anniversary. Now, he can't save you from your wife, but he can save you from the unpleasantness, right? Amen? Things happen to us. And we have to understand that Jesus will deliver, so we can rejoice when we see God's love working in our lives through difficult times. Most of all, as he closes out in verse 11 here, Paul says we can rejoice in our reconciliation. Look back at verse 11. Paul says, and not only this. Look, I gave y'all two good reasons. You can be happy and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You can be happy and rejoice when you see God taking you through your troubles, when you see God developing your faith in trials and tribulations. But not only that, that's not the best part. Here's the best part. We can also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. You was once enemies of God, estranged from God, and now you've been reconciled to God as children of God. And as children of God, you get to enjoy life with God, not just in heaven, but here on this earth. And so the result of Jesus' sacrifice is y'all smile. We get to rejoice. Amen? So as we begin today with, and I wrote it up there wrong, revealed hope, I apologize. Oh, hope revealed. Okay, I'm getting all tangled up. But as we're here and they're going to sing, what I want you to do is these words, these songs penetrate deep into your heart. I want you to pause and think about the glory of God, the love of God in the trials of your life, and the life that you have today to enjoy with Jesus Christ. I'm going to welcome my friends.
Good morning. I want to apologize for us coming in a little bit late. We were ready, but Cecil needed hairspray, so we had to get a little hairspray for Cecil. We are excited to be back at our church in Sanford, North Carolina. So thankful that we can work. It seems like it's been forever since we were here. It hasn't been, but it seems like it's been forever. And we are so excited to be back with you this morning. Pastor, I don't know if you planned it this way or not, but you just preached a powerful word. A powerful word, and we are so thankful that we're here with you this morning. I hope you've come to worship the Lord. That's what we've come to do with you today. We've driven 2 hours to do just that, not to put on a show, as you know, not to perform, but to stand in awe of the presence of the Lord in his presence today and worship with you. But let's start that off with a new song from Cecil. Not a new song for Cecil, but a new song by Cecil. How about that? Is that right? He never knows what's coming. Thank you. 10:30 in the morning. Wow. If that ain't enough, how about this one?
This is going to be a happy time, baby. Johnson, that's her.
From here for a while, and we've tried to invest some time in learning some new songs and spending some time in practice. And while we've traveled a little bit since January, not nearly as much as the previous couple of years, but back in the saddle again, I guess you could say, since about April or May, we're back on the road again a little bit and trying out some of these new songs. And we hope that you'll forgive the mistakes we might make along the way as we try to perfect them. But all of these are ones that we just felt like were special to be a part of today's program.
Thank you. place I long for. My home is coming home.
I long to be,
for that's my home. Sorry about that.
Well, that happens every now and then to all of us, I guess, at some point along the way. How many of you across this past year have lost someone that you love? Has it happened to you, someone you know or someone you love? If you've had that happen during this year, then you would know that those can be very trying times, even outside a pandemic. It's never easy to say goodbye. And during this last year and a half or so, we've dealt with this virus. We've seen folks come and get sick. Some did well. Others didn't do so well. Some have gone on to glory, and some we don't know where they'll spend eternity. What I know is that through it all, there's one that sticks closer than a brother. Through it all, when those moments of challenge for us, and I say that for me as a Christian, I can't speak for everyone, but for me as a Christian, I have moments where I'm challenged in my faith. Things I don't quite understand. Mysteries of the faith that I would think by now I'd figured out. I should be mature enough to know those things and how those work, but it seems like sometimes when death approaches someone that we love or sickness approaches those that we love, it's a little bit harder to understand the whys and the hows. Have you ever argued with God or questioned God or in your prayer time wonder, Lord, why don't I understand that? Well, if you have, you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. Cecil's going to come and sing a song that is another one of our newer songs that we're doing, and it talks about that friend that's closer than a brother. It talks about one that chose us to be there with us, to walk beside us, to go before us, to give his life for us. As the pastor said, he didn't have to. But God chose to do that, to show his grace and his love and his mercy. And for all those moments and times when we don't quite know the answers to the questions, some would think it cliche. The world looking upon us would say it was ignorance on our part. But I have to rest in the faith that one day all those questions will be made clear. The answers will be obvious when we don't understand them now. But there will be for us one day. Cecil, come and sing if I can get it to work on this computer. You chose to be my friend. Let me get the piano.
Prove your love was true. you chose to be. Oh, my friend. Oh, life is bad. So full of fear. You stood by.
Great. doesn't mean that he's not listening. And the darkness doesn't mean that he is gone, 'cause he promised he would never, ever leave us. And you've never spent one moment on your own.
Someone described her recently as the quiet one. Not Kathy Marianne. The quiet one, Marianne. And among, I guess that was pretty good observation. The person that described her that way is sort of new to our group and new around us and getting to know the behind the scenes of us. You know, practices are a little different than when we're in a worship service. We're a bit more relaxed. We get to know each other. We pray before we leave about our cares and concerns for each other. And we try to do that once a week. It doesn't always happen that way, but we try to do that at least once a week in preparation for maybe the next weekend, wherever the Lord would have us going. But that person said she's the quiet one of the group. I would describe her more as the deliberate one of our group. The person among all of us that when she does speak, so that some, how many of you are old enough in here to remember that commercial about E.F. Hutton? You remember that one? So when Marianne does speak, everybody's going to turn and listen, because she's probably got a word that you need to hear. We've sung a lot of songs. She's sung a lot of songs with us across the years we've been together, and some that are my favorites and some that are others' favorites. Some that's more difficult for her to sing right now, because since she was here with you last, Brother Bobby, her father, went on to glory. And she didn't tell me this, but the other day she sort of knew I was going to put the songs I like her to sing in the rotation probably first. And she simply sent me a text, and this said, "I want to sing this one if there's room." And so I backed one out, and I put this one in. It's an old one. It's one on our first CD, probably among the first songs we learned to sing together. But it's sort of pertinent to where we are, where she's at right now, and where some of us are right now with this past year. So, Marianne, come and sing. Lead us as we try to sing. Until then. Until then. Well, there's a lot of stuff happening among our group. Earlier this year, there was a tug that maybe there was time for a little bit of change to happen among Hope Revealed, and we decided that there might be a need for something new. And we've been praying for a sound man for a year and a half. We had a little church over in Rockingham that we worship with several times a year, and preacher over there put us on his prayer list. I mean, literally, Hope Revealed needs a sound man. And if you watch their Wednesday night program on Facebook, because I sometimes do riding down the road. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Pastor Donnie is praying for Hope Revealed among the list of, he's got a prayer request list, about 18 minutes it takes him to go through, because he calls everybody's name.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody. And then he preaches. And he's been sticking that line in there since we brought it to his attention a year and a half ago. And Clarence Warren in Warren, Missouri, told me nearly 40 years ago, he admonished me one day as a lad, and he said, "Be careful what you pray for." I don't know if that's scripture or not, Pastor, but it was to Clarence. "Be careful what you pray for, because you might get it." So I'm the new sound man. So to speak. We got to praying about that thing, and the Lord laid it on our hearts, and we reached out to a young man that's been singing gospel music for about 35 years around southeastern North Carolina and South Carolina and parts beyond, and we had ministered with him before in some other forums, and asked him if he would consider coming and being a part of our group, and maybe taking over some of the vocals on our programs, and he has agreed to do that. And I wanted him to sit down there instead of sit up here, because he's going to be your friend as he is our friend, as you are our friends. He's going to be your friend too going forward. But I wanted you to hear and see. There's a visual thing to this. He's a big guy with a big voice and a bigger testimony. You can keep the size, you can keep the voice, but the testimony is the important part, the important part. And we're excited to have him as a part of Hope Revealed, and I'm excited about trying to learn how to drive the bus and get here on time and do the sound a little better. Make welcome our newest member of Hope Revealed, Brother Ron Stubbs.
We'll leave it like that.
Yeah, we'll just leave it back.
Well, good to see everybody. Good to meet a few people before service. Hopefully I get to meet the rest of you after the service. I don't know what our sound man's getting ready to line up and do, but we're going to go with it. How about that? Okay. Preacher was preaching this morning the sermon about exalt, and he said it's spelt the same, but it means two different things. There's one with an A and one with a U. This morning, that's what we're here to do, is to exalt, lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. And I know sometimes that's hard for us to do with the things that we're going through and things that's happening all around us. But the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people, yes. Not the praises of Hope Revealed or not the praises of Pastor, but the praises of his people. So this morning, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to uplift him and thank him for this day. Yes. Because, Pastor, a lot of people is not able to wake up this morning. But thank God we are. Yes. Thank God he's given us another breath to live and to see a day that he's created. Amen. So this is a hand clapping, foot stomping song. So if you're not awake, turn to your neighbor and say, "Wake up. We're about to have a little church this morning, okay?" All right, here we go.
Hallelujah in the house.
Come on,
help
me out.
Who can raise a hand of praise and give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, we'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
I don't care who's got the finest car to drive, and it don't bless my nose to know how fast your airplane flies. When I gather with the saints, we need to hear the sound.
testified. They were lost and almost died until the Lord came in and delivered them from sin. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house? Well,
who can raise a hand of praise, give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, we'd like to hear it now.
Who's got the best hallelujah?
Shine through, Lord, I need to feel
judgment, Lord, keeps me coming back to you. If you'll just squeeze my hand, let me feel you by my side. Oh, yes, Lord. You said you'd never, never leave me. You'd always be my guide. But the storms of life sometimes won't let the sun shine through. What I need to feel that kind of love.
That intrigues me about this church is, one, it's my first time here. It's beautiful sanctuary, by the way. It's when you walk in through that front door, if you would raise that screen behind us, it's something called a cross. And it's more than just an emblem that people wear around their neck. It's more than just a refrigerator magnet that you might have at your home that you might walk by and see, but it's that emblem that not only stands for freedom. We talk about freedom today because it's Memorial Day, but freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from everything that God has ever promised us. But I'm glad at the age of 17 years old, Pastor, on a Wednesday night, I'm glad that the old rugged cross Amen. Made a difference in my life.
Yes.
And not only at that moment, but in times since, the old rugged cross is one that I cling to in the time of help. Y'all listen to the words of this old song and let it bless you this morning. Was a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope on the shell of a man. And then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever for the cross made the difference for me. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet ran in terror.
terror too high. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside, now there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. You see, without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. Here's why. For life can be sealed in a tomb. Oh, but I will praise Him forever and ever. For the cross made the difference for me. Yes, the cross made the difference for me.
Told you he was a big guy with a big voice.
Where am I going? I've got lost my track here.
Should be out to take Jesus.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed. Thinking about eternity.
know, it's amazing how quick time goes in a service. We could, as you know, we could sing for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, but you wouldn't want that. The Methodists will get to lunch before we do. So we don't want that to happen. Yes, ma'am. Bless her heart. She gets a star. She gets a star for sure. Bless her heart. Well, we are thankful that you'd have us back and thankful you let us worship with you. And as would be the case in any of service that we have a chance to share the word with, we want to encourage you as those that are believers. And also, if you're not a believer today, if you're not sure that you know that you know that you know, that should the Lord call your number today, that you'd spend eternity in heaven, we'd encourage you not to leave here today before you grab the arm of somebody and say, hey, I need to know more about how to make that relationship right. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something separating you from the Lord. There's no place for it there. We've got to cleanse ourselves of it. And today's a good day to do that. We'd encourage you to do that. As Ron comes and leads us in a closing hymn, closing song, I know the pastor would agree this altar is wide open. And I'd ask that he be available, and I know he would be, for anybody that would need or want prayer during this time. He's no further away from us than the mention of his name. He's just a whisper away. He'll bring comfort to those who need it, healing to those in his will. And he'll always wrap his arms of love around you. Wherever you are, no matter where you are in life, on a mountaintop or in a valley, he's always there. Ron, come and lead us.
I've been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley. If it makes me more like you, this is where I want to be. I've been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley. No stranger to this valley.
Y'all give Hope Revealed another big hand. And Ron, you've been, so now you're our friend. All right, amen. All right. Yeah, amen. We're glad y'all to have y'all here today. I hope it's been a wonderful service, and I hope you'll remember next week to rejoice in the results of Christ. I loved it when Cecil was singing, you know, Jesus chose to be our friend. So next week, when you're going through trouble, you remember that Jesus, when you're in them valleys, when you're in them deep times, that's when you can feel his hand get a little firmer. His love get a little softer, and his presence and power get a little closer. And you just pray, as Miss Kathy was singing there. So y'all just remember that. And until then, keep looking up, because Jesus is on the way back. Amen? Amen. While we are closing here, Mr. Clausen brought it to my attention, and I don't know if y'all know this, but if you play an instrument or anything like that tomorrow at 3 o'clock, WRL and some more media outlets, I guess, have been promoting this so people will understand. At 3 o'clock tomorrow, people are going to pause all the way across the nation and play taps on different instruments, different groups, individuals and groups. So if you do play something and you're sitting at home, stop, sit down at your keyboard, piano, pull out your guitar and play. And so remember that, and remember all the families of the ones that have sacrificed their lives for us. Remember most of all, Christ Jesus. Amen. Anything before we close? All right, they have CDs back here. You can keep listening to them this afternoon if you stop and get a CD from them and just say hey, and y'all introduce yourself to Ron and say hello to our friends. And don't forget Brother Ray in the back there. So, amen. All right, he's hiding from us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we're thinking about rejoicing in the hope and the glory of God, in the tribulations we have and in our reconciliation, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of prayer. Your word tells us that even though sometimes we do not know and do not have the words to come before you in prayer, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with deep groanings, searching our hearts, and Lord, just bringing them bare before you, that, Lord, we can let you truthfully know how we feel, what's going on, what we need to know. And Lord, your word tells us that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, interceding also for us. We just thank you for the blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would bless us all, that Lord, as we leave here today, we would just glory in the love of God, in the grace of Christ, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as we leave this place. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank y'all so much for coming.